Well, more than 3,000 years ago, God made a covenant with Moses, on our behalf. God gave his commandments to Moses. If the people followed God's commandments, they could live in peace and be a people pleasing to God and receive his graces and blessings. Today we heard from the book of Exodus, when Moses came to the people and related all the words and ordinances of the Lord, they all answered with one voice, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." God proposed his law to the people. The people accepted it and responded. This was a contract. It's deeper than a contract. It's a covenant because it involves an exchange of life. My life for yours. Covenant. In contracts and covenants, there's usually some sign or proof of the seriousness of the agreement, the fidelity to the covenant. In this case, God was promising life and protection for his people who he was forming. The people responded with a sign of life, blood. Blood represented life, not their own blood. They weren't being commanded to die themselves, but they were in the covenant giving their lives to God and showing it in the form of blood, but of animals. Moses splashed this blood first on the people and then on the altar. And all this was done by the people to show their commitment to God's covenant and commandments. They said, "We will do everything the Lord has told us." That's a promise back. He promises, we promise. And so it is with us today. We make promises to God when we're baptized. We renew those promises when we're confirmed. We live the sacramental life of the church as a sign of our commitment to God and his to us. It's a binding. Jesus' death was a new covenant, much like Moses was performed with the people, except instead of using the substitute blood of animals, Jesus made the covenant in his own blood. This was the life he was exchanging, his for ours. With his own body and blood, he forgives our sins and gave birth to the church and the sacraments of the church. In the Holy Mass, we celebrate the real presence of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the elements of the Eucharist and the bread and the wine. 2 months ago, on Holy Thursday, we recognized the institution of the Eucharist and the Last Supper prior to Good Friday. And on that day, we also celebrated the institution to the priesthood. But in the 13th century, in the 1260s and 70s, the Feast of Corpus Christi was proposed by St. Thomas Aquinas, the doctor of the church, and he proposed it to Pope Urban IV in order to create a feast focused solely on the Eucharist, not including other things like priesthood, just on the Holy Eucharist, emphasizing the joy of the Eucharist being the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And the Pope established the Feast of Corpus Christi as a solemnity and extended it to the whole Roman Catholic Church. 13th century. I find it fascinating in the history of our faith, in our salvation history, how the prophetic vision of God is repeated and affirmed and acclaimed over and over again. Jesus himself later affirmed the Feast of Corpus Christi to St. Margaret Mary a la Coke. St. Margaret Mary said she learned of the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus during a series of apparitions about 400 years after the insistence of St. Thomas Aquinas, between 1673 and 1675. She said in those appearances that Jesus told her to put a feast to his Sacred Heart on Friday within the octave after the Feast of Corpus Christi. So in one stroke, Jesus, through St. Margaret Mary, was affirming the feast to his body and blood, by then connecting a new feast to it, which he requested, the Feast to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which we're going to celebrate this Friday, just like he told her to do, the Friday within the octave of the Feast of Corpus Christi, just exactly the same way. So this next week on Friday, June 11th, we're going to celebrate our parish feast. We're going to have to go outside because it's going to be too many people. We can't do it inside. We're going to go out on the lawn where we do other big events, and you've been out there with us. It's going to be bilingual. Bishop Vasquez is going to come to that feast, and he's going to be there to confirm one of our classes of confirmation. We do four confirmations every year, and he's coming to confirm our young people. And we will also reconsecrate those who made their vows of consecration to the Guard of Honor, to the Sacred Heart. Remember that we had about 240 parishioners make consecration to the Guard of Honor, and they're going to reconsecrate themselves with a bishop here giving them a blessing. And during the novena, who are not yet consecrated are going to be able to prepare themselves for being consecrated to the Guard of Honor that we celebrated and consecrated 2 years ago. Now, if you've been in the Adoration Chapel, you know there's two framed pictures. They're pictures of clocks in front of the altar. And for every hour, there are names filled in. And so there's 240 names between those two. Those people made promises to take that hour and pray that hour and offer that hour to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. That's what those two big frames are. Following the example of the popes, we're going to have tomorrow a procession of Corpus Christi at 3 p.m. after the Mass at 1:30. The ideas of the procession of Corpus Christi is like they do in Rome. The Pope takes the Blessed Sacrament out into Rome. At St. Peter's, they walk out into the piazza, into the plaza, and then back in after Mass. And then later on, the Pope will actually go to his cathedral, St. John Lateran, and there's a street called Marulana Street. It's a mile long, and it ends one end in St. John Lateran, the other end in the Basilica of St. Mary. And at St. Mary's Basilica, then he'll do the benediction. But the procession of the Sacred Heart is all the way up Marulana Street from one basilica to the other, taking Christ out into the world. He doesn't just stay inside this box inside the church. He's meant to be taken out into the world. And that's a sign for us that we shouldn't leave him here, that we should make him visible out in the world by the way we live our lives. The Eucharist is a covenant, like a contract. We exchange promises. How many times have you heard people say, I don't want to go to Mass, I don't get anything out of it. And the point is, that's not why you're here. You're here to keep your promise. You're here to remake your promise. Every time you go to Holy Communion, you are receiving Jesus' sacrifice for you and you are offering your sacrifice and promise back to him. If you can't say, I will keep God's commandments, don't receive the Eucharist. It's a promise, just like the people in Exodus. We will do what God has asked of us. And we have to do the same thing when we receive Holy Communion. It's not a party favor. It's a promise. It's an exchange. It's a faithfulness. We promise to be faithful to God. Many people look at Mass as something we do to receive something. In fact, no, it's the promise. Listen to what the Psalm says. How shall I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? The cup of salvation I will take up, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. It's a relationship of commitment. We renew our promises to the Lord when we receive Holy Communion. Attending Holy Mass is our obligation, whether we get any pleasure out of it or not. It doesn't make any difference if you get anything out of it. You came because of your commitment. That's the reason. God's already blessed us. How will we show our return? And we recall again the scene of Moses with the people of the Exodus at that moment when he gave them the law of God, the commandments. Moses, taking the book of the covenant, he read it aloud to the people, who answered, "All that the Lord has said, we will heed and do." That's what we're asked to do here. And then he took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words of his." At Mass, we should renew our promises of obedience to God as well. And each time we receive Holy Communion, we renew our covenant with him. It's not what we get. It's what we commit to. It's the commitment we make to God as well as his gift to us. It's a holy exchange. His life for ours. Our lives for him. That's the way it's always been intended.